Hi, I'm Adil Bandukwala.
And I'm Kaushik Satish, and this is the Great Indian Marketing Show, where we go behind the scenes with top marketing leaders.
We uncover not just what marketers do, but how. Our guest today is Sunil Suresh, Group CMO at Make My Trip. He's responsible for steering the company's marketing efforts to support the company's strategic objectives while overseeing all initiatives across the marketing funnel, including brand, social performance, and the innovation marketing tracks. Sunil believes in a growth mindset, and childlike curiosity are essential to be able to thrive in this ever-changing world.
In his previous stint, Sunil was the Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer at Capillary Tech for 2 years and was responsible for driving growth and profits through strategic transformation of the company. Prior to that, he held crucial positions of Chief Digital Officer and Chief Marketing Officer at Yum Brands, wherein he led teams across Middle East, Africa, Pakistan, and Turkey.
Additionally, Sunil worked with Unilever for over a decade, wherein he held various positions in the sales and marketing function. Sunil, delighted to have you with us today. Welcome to the Great Indian Marketing Show.
Thank you, Adil. Thank you, Kaushik. My pleasure.
Sunil, let's start with the big picture. 2020 has been an extraordinary year by all counts, particularly challenging for the travel industry. How are things now? Give us a sense of the shape the travel industry is taking in trying to adapt to these times. And where do you expect things to be by next summer?
Yeah, well, it certainly has been an interesting year, to say the least. You know, from a GMV run rate of over $6 billion, it came crashing down to zero literally overnight. And the travel industry has been in the eye of the storm. The good thing is, since the unlock began, I think travel has been slowly coming back. It began with essential travel, folks wanting to get back home or to their workplaces. Then some small bit of, you know, small business travel folks who couldn't get their work done, sort of sitting at home behind a screen, people like traders, etc. Since then, I think leisure has started coming back. Today, if I look at it, I'd say there's a deep desire to travel. You know, a lot of pent-up demand. I think people are sick of being locked down and, you know, in one place. A lot of folks have already started traveling safely. And I think there are a lot more who are desperate to get away, but are holding on with, you know, safety in mind. But we're seeing more and more people making the choice to get away. A lot of driving holidays, a lot of staycations. So definitely some behavior change in terms of how people are traveling. But travel is coming back. So that's a pretty positive thing overall. In terms of how summer's going to look like, you know, I'm not a soothsayer. So, you know, difficult to predict. And a lot depends on how the situation unfolds with respect to the vaccine and COVID numbers, etc. But yeah, I mean, I think my prediction would be that it will continue to get better over the next few months. How long it's going to take to sort of completely normalize remains to be seen. But one thing I'm certain of is that when all of this is over, travel will come back with a bang and people are going to make up for all the lost time. Yeah, I mean, there's a phrase called revenge travel. We are seeing signs of that already. And, you know, I'm very sure that's going to come back at some point.
Sunil, I'm a bit curious. When travel is back, well and truly back, what is the first destination that you're packing your bags to?
I think one of the places that I have on my bucket list and, you know, I really need to go there is Japan. And there's a story there, which is actually my son, who's a teenager, is obsessed with anime and, you know, from there on, all things Japan. So, you know, I don't think he's going to want to go anywhere unless I take him to Japan first.
Lovely. I thought you'd talk about the cherry blossom season, Sunil, but having a son changes everything. Completely correct. Relate to you because I've got two boys. They're big into anime too.
Yeah.
The other reason I'd love to go to Japan is Kit Kat, because Kit Kat has an insane amount of flavors in Japan. Yeah. And it's the only country where they have those kind of flavors. And it's almost like correct. A religion there.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I had a friend who brought back some 15 flavors of Kit Kat, and not just Kit Kat. I think it's true for all kinds of food. You know, from my time in Yum, I know even KFC has some pretty insane sort of offerings in Japan. So it should be a lot of fun.
100% agree. So coming back to how you were talking about how travel has impacted the whole industry, I would love to understand a little more internally, what has all this meant for you at Make My Trip, both at an org level, as well as for you individually as a CMO? What are the big shifts that this has accelerated? And what are some that still remain challenges?
I think the good thing for us at MakeMyTrip is that we have very, very experienced leaders in our founders. Deep and Rajesh are seasoned veterans who keep reminding us, have been through many cycles like this, maybe none that are as bad as this has been. But what they've brought in is, I think, helped all of us keep a very level head and focused all of us on the opportunity that this presented. So, there certainly was a crisis and a whole lot of stuff that needed to be done to sort of mitigate the impact of the crisis. But as an org, we really focused a lot on the opportunities. When the lockdown happened, I think the first priority for all of us was really looking after our customers, because as you can imagine, lakhs and lakhs of customers suddenly had their travel plans disrupted, and that meant a lot of anxiety. So, there was a lot of work done early on, making sure that we beef up our customer service. We try and, reach out to customers, give them as much support as we possibly could. That's very much a work in progress. We managed to solve, I think, lakhs of problems for customers, but there's still, quite a few and some way to go. Now, having said that, I think the opportunity side of things, right? So what we said is, today, a lot of customers need to reach out to us to be able to resolve a lot of their issues. So as a team, we actually took it on as a major project. And we said, how much of this can we actually automate? And, the tech team worked super hard over the past few months. And, I must say that a lot of, the customer service pieces, I think, have now been automated. And, today, for instance, if you go to Make My Trip or Go IBO, go into the My Trip section, 90%+ of anything that you'd want to get done, you can actually get it done automatically using tech, right? So I think that was one example. We've done a lot of work on customer experience as well. I mean, as an example, we focused on, creating a more connected and seamless trip. We have, for hotels, this new contactless check-in that has been rolled out, and a lot of hotels are making use of it, where, as a customer, you don't need to actually go and stand in a queue when you get to the hotel. You can do a lot of the KYC stuff online before you go there and pretty much just pick up your key and, and go into a room. Similarly, I mean, if you look at flights, we have automated web check-in where when you book your ticket, you can actually put in your request. And, when it's time to web check-in, we automatically do that for you and send it to you. And a whole bunch of other things, right? So, for instance, we have what we call the Meerut to Mysore project, where you can pretty much book your entire journey in one place easily, in a few clicks. You don't have to sort of book a cab separately, book a flight separately. You can sort of do all of that seamlessly on our platform. So that was the other piece. We've also done a whole bunch of other things. So for instance, we've launched a new ad tech platform, which, I think we got running in less than 3 months. And, it's been doing pretty well over the past 3-4 months that it's been live. We've also sort of created little ventures. So we've got something we call Trip Money, which is like a little fintech offering, which allows people to access credit for various needs that they have, and so on and so forth. I mean, I could go on. We sort of relaunched our loyalty programs through this period. We have MMT Black, which is on Make My Trip. We've got Go Tribe, which is the Go IBO loyalty program. In fact, that's an all new loyalty program for people who absolutely have a passion for travel. At some point, I think you should go in and check it out. Besides all of this, I think what we also did is focus extensively on safety. Obviously this was the need of the hour. So for example, I mean, of course, we sort of certified all the hotels, made sure that we tagged all the hotels on our platform, gave customers all the information around safety that they need, and even innovated. So for instance, if you book cabs on our platform, you can actually see and verify that the driver who is coming to pick you up has actually put on a mask, has sanitized his hands. There's AI tech that's built in that doesn't allow the cab driver to start the ride until, there's evidence that he's actually wearing a mask and he's sanitized and so on and so forth. Yeah, so I think we've been on a journey. What remain big challenges, I think, for us beyond the opportunities, I'd just say it's really about continuing to stay relevant for customers, because things are changing super fast, right? So, I think that keeps us on our toes. How do we continue to stay relevant to meet the needs of customers?
So Sunil, I remember reading, I think somewhere, either on LinkedIn or somewhere else, I'm not sure, but it's a fairly large marketing organization at Make My Trip. Is it over 100 team members? Is that what I read?
Yeah, we do have a pretty large team.
Okay. So I was very interested in understanding, how do you articulate the marketing strategy internally, right? You know, what is the role of marketing and how do you sort of put that across to your own team and obviously to the larger organization?
See, from our perspective, I mean, you can talk for an hour about what the role of marketing is, but I like to keep it really simple. From my perspective, it's really marketing is about driving growth. And how you drive growth is really by keeping everything relevant for the customer and doing it in a way that is engaging and distinctive. So at a baseline, I think that's basically what I'd say the role of marketing is.
Fair and simple. So what does it mean for metrics? As a CMO, what metrics are you most focused on?
See, overall, like I said, marketing has to be the growth engine for the business. And when you talk about growth, you know, my favorite thing is there are basically only three ways to grow the business, right? I mean, you either get new customers or get existing customers to come more often or to buy more every time they come. So that's fundamentally three things that, you know, we need to be looking at doing. And so therefore, you know, the top level metrics we look at are really around these three, right? So you look at acquisition, you look at retention. And then I think what we try and do is break down the contributing factors for that. So for instance, you know, how many unique visitors do we get? How many of them are new? What is the retention rate? How are different segments behaving? So on and so forth. Look at the efficiency. So, you know, a lot of focus on return on ad spend. Look at brand health, because that's a predictor for future behavior in terms of acquisition and retention. Similarly, NPS is a predictor for retention and, you know, so on and so forth.
Got it. Okay.
Sunil, you lead a large team of marketers. This is cutting across brand, content, performance marketing, partnerships, and more. We'd love to understand a little bit about how is this team structured? What did you take into consideration when you designed this team to drive the outcomes that you planned for your marketing strategy?
Yeah, that's been a tricky one. And once I came into this role, I think the first several months, I did spend quite a bit of time thinking about this. And what we've done right now is we've tried to structure for effectiveness overall. And we're trying to strike a balance between functional expertise and depth on one hand, and enabling a holistic view, ownership of the growth agenda on each brand, you know, on the other hand. So the way we've structured it is we have leaders for each of the brands. So like, you know, say a leader for Make My Trip and Go Ibibo, etc. Now, these leaders directly manage brand, mobile marketing, programmatic, CLM, loyalty, etc. Right. So a lot of the acquisition, retention pieces, brand health. So they look at that directly. They're effectively the marketing leaders for the brands, and they work closely with other sort of functional marketing teams as well as business teams to ensure that we make clear in terms of our strategy and executing on strategy and, you know, are nimble and fast. We then have leaders who look at specific areas where you need sort of functional expertise. So for instance, you've got a team and a leader focused on marketing engineering, automation strategy. So, you know, that's sort of one piece. You've got alliances and partnerships, PR, consumer insights, and then you've got separate teams sort of focused on performance marketing. Besides all of this, we also have our in-house creative shop that we call Imagine Studio. So I think that's, you know, largely how we structure.
Understood. I was also curious to know, Sunil, how much marketing do you individually get to do today? Because you've got a crazy large team of over 100 marketeers. Where do you personally get involved? How much do you handhold, and what are elements that are hands-off?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think I certainly do a lot less of marketing than, you know, I'd like to. I think the way I see it, my role is really to enable the incredibly talented leaders we have and help remove any barriers that they have. And besides that, I think make sure that everyone in the team is really pulling in the same direction. So operationally, you know, I try and get involved only in places where I feel I can genuinely add value. Otherwise, you know, really just let all the experts do their job. And yeah, beyond that, I think it's more about pushing for the next big thing and, you know, really enabling folks to be successful.
Follow up on that, Sunil, what's an area of marketing that's really close to your heart? What is that one aspect that you'd always like to be involved in?
See, I think one aspect of marketing that I've grown up with is really brands. I think that's something that is very close to my heart, something that I believe is incredibly important. And, you know, at the core of it really is consumer behavior, right? Because no matter what else we do, and today there is so much of technology, there's performance marketing, and as you get into digital, there's so much jargon that, you know, it can take you a couple of years just to figure out what people are talking about. But if you cut through all that clutter, you know, at the core of it, I think what we're trying to do is really influence consumer behavior and, you know, help consumers make that choice, which hopefully is in our favor. And, you know, I think brands and insights sort of in a lot of ways is, I think, at the core of marketing. So, you know, even if you're a performance marketer or a digital marketer, I think understanding how consumers relate to brands and how they make their choices, I think is super important.
Sunil, I want to get into the operational parts a bit deeper over here, because I think one thing that a lot of marketing leaders would want to know particularly is when teams scale, how do you continue to keep it cohesive? How do you continue to keep communication flows happening, both, you know, from you to your direct reports, but also horizontally between different teams, right? So you mentioned that you have two parts largely to your marketing organization. One is, you know, your brand leaders, and then of course you have your functional leaders. So, mm-hmm. So how many direct reports do you end up having then?
So I have about 9 direct reports.
Got it. Okay. Can you just talk us through what your cadences are like with them? Like, how often do you meet them? And typically, what do you go through with these leaders?
Yeah, multiple things that we actually do. You know, we have a marketing leadership team. And as a team, we meet every couple of weeks, which actually helps quite a bit because we end up sort of doing a lot of sharing and talking about, you know, the key sort of priorities for the brand, talking about what, you know, each one of us is doing. And that sort of helps make sure that everybody is sort of aware of what's happening and everyone is aligned. Besides that, we've got sort of reviews with key teams, you know, that I sort of have every couple of weeks or on a monthly basis, depending on the priority. So, you know, that's not sort of fixed. It can keep changing. Direct reports, I sort of have, you know, formal one-on-ones maybe every couple of weeks. But other than that, I have a very open door policy, or, you know, today I'd say open phone, open Zoom policy. So so we sort of speak as required. Okay. Beyond that, you know, really, I think the leadership team forum is a great way to sort of get everybody to come together and focus. And what we also make sure is that the teams have their own cadence of sharing and catch up, especially where teams have a lot of interface.
Got it. And between teams, how does that work? Because I think particularly in large organizations, it's pretty easy for the silos to get built up, right? You know, sometimes demand doesn't know what brand is doing and brand doesn't know what content is doing. In your organization, how does that work? How does communication flow between teams happen?
Yeah, so there are multiple aspects to it. I think one is the functional aspect, right? Which is, do you have the right meetings? Do you have the right communication tools, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, like I said, I think there are a lot of these meeting structures that are in place to make sure that people are coming together and talking to each other, project reviews and so on and so forth. But equally important, I'd say, is culture, right? And what's the culture in the organization? Now, as an organization, we are very, very clear that we sort of reward teams on overall impact, and we reward teams, right? So it's not about individual glory. And as long as that culture is clear to everybody, and more importantly, people experience that culture in terms of the recognition that goes out, in terms of the way people talk about various aspects, people then realize that collaboration is a virtue and something that, you know, they're going to get rewarded for. And I think that builds that sense of, you know, company first over, you know, individual glory.
Okay, thank you.
Sunil, would love to understand a little bit about how are goals decided at Make My Trip. You know, do you guys do this quarterly, annually? How does this cascade into marketing? Does every team's goal ladder into a high-level company goal, or do you individualize them?
Yeah, we do have a broad annual plan and, you know, a long-term strategy that we have in place. But goals per se, I mean, for a company that operates at the kind of pace that we like operating at, you cannot really do it anything other than quarterly. So goals are quarterly. And, you know, we try and ladder everything up to sort of the overall organizational goal. So there is leadership team that comes together, decides what the sort of priorities are for the organization, given the kind of targets that we're chasing. And then we ladder up the respective functional tasks to these overall organizational goals. But having said that, you know, it's not that everything is something that you cannot relate to. For every individual, going right down to the person sort of on the front line, goals are individual, and it's the respective leader's job to make the connections, right? So for instance, if you're a content person on the Imagine Studios team, you need to have very specific deliverables in terms of the kind and quality of content that you're going to deliver, and some metric that is an approximation of the impact that you're going to have on the overall business. And two things happen. One is the personalization, I think, makes it very clear for the person as to what they are supposed to do. And that connection that you make and, you know, that the leader sort of explains to you sort of increases the sense of purpose, because they understand what role they play in the overall organization's success.
That's very helpful. I want to talk a little bit more on the execution part, and would love to understand here, do you also work with partners or external agencies from a marketing standpoint? And if yes, I'd love to understand, how do you decide what to outsource and what do you necessarily keep in-house?
Yeah, we do. We do work with a lot of agencies. You know, we've got creative and brand agencies, social listening, a lot of consumer research, you know, insights agencies, media, of course, we work with a separate agency and a few others. In terms of how we decide, see, I think there are pros and cons of, you know, doing things in-house versus using an industry expert. So I think the way we look at it is it's a balance between how critical is it to our business and, you know, how invested do we need to be in that particular area in the long term versus the kind of expertise and the kind of career path we can give people as we build out that expertise. So, you know, if I take, for instance, a brand creative agency, I think we're very clear that, you know, given the kind of organization we are, given the number of brands we have, it may be difficult for us to attract the best talent that is out there and give them a career path, right? Maybe you can attract them in the short term. But a lot of creative people would want to work on multiple brands, multiple projects, multiple challenges. And, you know, we'd obviously be limited in terms of how much we can give them. So in situations like that, it would make a lot of sense for us to, you know, go outside. On the other hand, if you're talking about performance marketing, then, you know, performance marketing, one aspect of it is the understanding of performance. But a very important part of performance and success is an understanding of our business and having the systems that allow you to sort of succeed in our specific business, because there are nuances to, you know, say if I take hotels, the kind of pricing you have, the kind of channels you interact with, the, you know, competitive scenario and so on and so forth, which is going to be quite difficult for an external agency to understand and to be able to actually plug into our system. So therefore, it makes a lot more sense for us to build out that team in-house. And given the scale of our business and given the scale of our spends, we can actually give people a very strong career path. So therefore, invest in that.
Sunil, as a CMO, what do you look for in your marketing leaders? You know, when you hire, when you bring people on board, what qualities, what specific traits do you look for that you know will make them successful at Make My Trip?
Ah, there's a whole bunch. And, you know, obviously there is the functional expertise aspect of things, which, you know, is a given, right? I mean, you've got to sort of know your stuff. But beyond that, I'd say, you know, if I look at the softer aspects, I think there are a few things that for me are very important. One is, do you really have a growth mindset? And, you know, I'm sort of purposely putting it out there first, because for me, that's incredibly important, right? You could be cat's whiskers and have the best achievements under your belt. But if you don't have the growth mindset, at some point, I think, one, you're going to sort of plateau and level out and, you know, not be able to sort of be as nimble as you need to be in, you know, the kind of world that we live in today. And two, I think cultural fit and collaboration becomes a problem, because the only way you can collaborate and accept different viewpoints is if you have that growth mindset. So, you know, I think that's one piece that, you know, for me is incredibly important. I think the second thing is authenticity. I increasingly find that important, because in today's world, I think there is so much noise, right? And it's very easy to get caught up in that noise and worry a lot more about projecting yourself and, you know, creating an image for yourself and forget about who you are and what you believe in. And, you know, I think having that clarity of who you are and what you believe in is super important. And which is why also I think, you know, when we hire in people, you know, at least as I look at it, I think for me, it's very important that people are candid, people are sort of speaking things the way they see it and, you know, are not afraid, for instance, to challenge, you know, the existing norms. you know, ask the sort of tough questions. I think that's super important to keep that sort of healthy conflict within the organization and make sure that we continually sort of innovating for the future. These are perhaps some of the soft aspects.
So true. Thank you. So let's shift gears a bit and talk about budgeting. Yeah, I know this year has been a doozy, but given that you run such a diverse team and do so many things, I'm very curious to know, how do you decide where to place your bets? You know, do you accelerate spend on brand? Do you do that on, let's say, engineering and automation or on performance marketing? Do you have a framework or an approach to say, okay, this is where we are going to place our bets in the coming year?
Yeah, this is always a tricky one because, you know, there is, I think, a combination of art and science that goes into determining priorities and allocating budgets. But having said that, I think a few principles, right? One is, I'd say fewer, bigger, better. So how do you sort of make sure that as a team, you're really focusing on those few things that will make a meaningful difference to the business and, you know, move us forward? And not something that just makes us feel good or, you know, leads to a tick in the box. So I think that's sort of the overriding principle, no matter what we look at. And there are lots of cool ideas that come out and, you know, get all of us very excited. But then when you evaluate it, you know, step back and look at it, either in terms of the kind of investment you're able to make in it or the kind of commitment you have across the organization to that idea, many times you end up dropping it. So beyond this, I think what we look at is really start with, you know, some of the business objectives, translate that into marketing objectives, jobs to be done, you know, try and sort of understand what you're trying to get done, you know, sort of linking it back to what I talked about a little earlier, where it's really all about growth. And, you know, what are you trying to do and how is that going to link back to the overall objective of growth? So on one hand, I think we really assess for impact and, you know, you've got short-term impact, which is really guided by metrics like ROAS and absolute growth impact. And you also look at some of the medium-term building blocks. So for example, if you're talking about the brand, so you've got short-term impact. I mean, we're an e-commerce business. So when you sort of run a campaign, we do look at the impact. Are we actually seeing more traffic coming, et cetera? But we're also cognizant that, you know, the role of brand is not just about driving sales overnight. It's also about building over time. So, you know, look at a bunch of other metrics over a period of time to sort of do a bit of postmortem and use that postmortem to guide what we do going forward. So we look at all of these factors and decide budgets basis this. To that extent, I think we like doing a zero-based budgeting every quarter so that we are not building in assumptions which lead to fat.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for that inside look into that very tricky balancing act that you have to make. Last question from me. As we reach the end of 2020, what's the one challenge within marketing or that you want to master next year?
I think, you know, marketing is an area, the way I look at it, it's continually a work in progress. But if I have to pick one thing for next year and something that I continually think about, it's really about how do you sort of stay relevant to customers? And in today's day and age, it's really about how do we reinvent ourselves for this new world of conversations and opinions and social. I think the way people relate to brands has changed. The way people connect with brands has changed. So what we'd want really is for our brands to be deeply relevant and execute in a way that connects with people. They should care about what we have to say, and they should want to be part of the conversation. So, you know, I think making that transition, making that shift, setting up all the systems to enable that, I'd say is something that, you know, we're really focused on going into next year.
Awesome. I think that's a wrap on our podcast, Sunil. Thanks so much for making time. We really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks so much, Adil and Kaushik. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Sunil.
Hey, that was Sunil Suresh, Group Chief Marketing Officer at MakeMyTrip. Thank you for joining us. And if you've liked what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe to us. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast networks. Until our next episode, this is me, Adil Bandukwala.
And Kaushik Satish, signing off for the Great Indian Marketing Show.